This podcast brought to you by the full-time and part-time graduate business programs of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. Powerful network, legendary brand. That's Notre Dame Business. Learn about our graduate programs in Chicago and South Bend at mendoza.nd.edu.
How Facebook is shaping the 2016 election, coming up.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. In a complete reversal of pattern, Citigroup projects that spending on political ads on Facebook could surpass spending on Alphabet's Google this year. As it turns out, the social media giant is ripe with tools political advertisers are sinking their teeth into because they're now able to target the very narrowest segment of users. Let's get the very latest on this. Joining us now is Christopher Mims. He's a technology columnist for the Journal. Welcome, Christopher.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So this is really interesting. For Facebook to surpass a company like Google in the arena of internet marketing, that's a pretty impressive feat. What is this a reflection of? On the simplest level, does it speak to just its ability to reach folks? I would think the size and scale must come into play here.
Yeah, size and scale are big. It's important to remember that in some ways this is going to be specific to campaigns which have different needs than other advertisers. Mm-hmm. One consultant put it to me this way, you know, the ability to reach 3 out of 4 Americans is huge. I think the other thing is we've got to remember that advertising on Facebook is very different from advertising on Google. About 4 years ago, in response to privacy laws in the EU and just public sentiment, Google went in a different direction than Facebook. They know less about us. Facebook knows tons and tons about us, and so they are able to subdivide us into all these neat little categories that marketers and especially people running for office love.
Let's talk about this micro-targeting that's happening. There's a precision to making sure an ad reaches its intended target. Does Facebook have the market on this as the prime example right about now?
I think in some ways they are, in terms of folks who are not the most sophisticated advertisers. So if you are a big operator, you're a presidential campaign, you got a ton of money, you can correlate your database of potential voters with all kinds of consumer data from companies like Experian and Axiom, you know, till the cows come home. But if you are running for mayor of a small town, the fact that Facebook gives you these tools where you can import an existing list and then connect that up with data from these consumer data companies, that's big. I mean, they're making it easier for people who otherwise wouldn't have access.
What kind of data is analyzed? How do these firms compile all of this information to micro-target voters with these kinds of ads?
So we are all giving off tons of data all the time. I mean, it's important to remember every time you sign up for a store or a loyalty card, that data is another revenue source for whatever that store is, and it's getting sold to these data brokers. So they know, you know, what we're buying. Obviously, they know where we live. And there is a lot of data that can be extrapolated. So in other words, if you have enough data points on somebody and they do now, you can start to say, you know what, whether or not this person owns a gun is not publicly available, but we can predict that with pretty high accuracy. And they can also predict your political leanings. And to me, the most interesting bit, which is the more recent development, is they're starting to do psychological profiling. So not just what do you like to buy, but fundamentally, who are you and how does that affect your decisions in other ways?
So you really see how this comes into play in an election cycle. So how has it come into play in election 2016? Any examples on how voters have been targeted?
My favorite example, which I didn't get to squeeze into the piece, is the way that the two campaigns are using this kind of data and this kind of targeting differently. A number of Republican data and campaign consultants told me that the Trump campaign is using this kind of targeting primarily to garner donations and to sell merchandise. So for them, it is a fundraising mechanism. Mm-hmm. And apparently they've been very successful there. I think Trump has had a couple of blowout months in terms of, you know, record numbers of small donors. On the other hand, the Clinton campaign, which obviously is using it in the same way, is apparently also using it to influence voters to participate in some way. I mean, one of the things that I was told was that they've found that what's much more effective than actual political advertising is convincing people to tell others you know, that they should go out and vote or that they should vote for a particular candidate. Mm-hmm. So they seem to have a skill at activating people to post on social media, and, you know, all of us find that more authentic, and that seems to work better.
That does make sense. Is there concern, though, about giving this type of control to algorithms, though, ultimately? Because it's, I mean, it seems like you can really get the precision down, but it's almost too good in a way.
Yeah, the real concern there is that these algorithms, these systems, there can't be any accountability. It's a black box code. So if a politician wants to deliver one message to one audience and the opposite message to another audience, technically that's possible. Now, I think people would notice, but considering how well we know advertising works, it is a little worrisome to some observers that micro-targeting has gotten so good that a candidate could potentially be everything to everyone, whether or not it reflects their views.
And this micro-targeting and this practice is obviously alive and well. For some perspective, how much was spent on digital ads in this election cycle? And let's compare it to the last one, let's say in comparison to 2012.
Yeah, so projections for digital ad spend this year were between about $650 million and north of $1 billion for all campaigns this election season. That is three or four times higher than the amount in 2012. So it's really been an explosion. Mm-hmm. This could very well be the fastest growing period of spending on digital ads for campaigns in history. In the future, I think digital ads are going to continue to grow really fast. I mean, by 2020, it could still grow another 2 or 3x, just because digital ad spend is eating so much of the spend that used to go to television.
And that's a whole landscape that's obviously changing as we speak.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick pause. Coming up, more with Christopher Mims on just how these digital ads affect the 2016 election. Coming up.
WSJ Podcasts, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app.
And we're back talking to the journal's Christopher Mims. So, Chris, the ability to use data as a political tool, it's becoming more and more important. But how essential is the science to actually winning a campaign these days? Like, is it having a notable stake in this election?
The way it's been put to me is that this kind of data science is table stakes. You know, when you're running a campaign between two sides, it's like a tug of war. Nobody notices that you're pulling on the rope until the other side lets go. So if it's an asymmetric thing and one campaign is not using this kind of data science, they could lose, or they could lose bigger. I mean, there's no scientific way to know exactly, you know, if we rerun the election without this stuff, like what a difference it makes.
Right.
But the bottom line is that especially when elections are potentially close, like our presidential election might be, and a lot of elections these days are, you know, 2 or 3 percentage points, that's the difference between winning and losing. So if this kind of targeting, micro-targeting can make ad dollars go further, can make volunteers more effective, it could make the difference.
Wow, really fascinating. Christopher Mims, thanks as always for joining the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
For more, you can check out WSJ.com. That'll do it for this edition of the Tech News Briefing. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
Share our shows with your friends. Like us at facebook.com/WSJ Podcasts.